kind of questions that you might have about what we can do, what we cannot do with Mathematica. But let me take this opportunity that I'm speaking to you to give you one more general advice for your master program and for your future. I think you should have in mind that this is a more or less relaxed program in the sense that there are no exams and you are supposed to all not to compete but to help each other and so on, which is of course great. But you should also keep in mind that this year and the beginning of your PhD are really the years where you are doing your gymnastics, weightlifting, and developing your kind of skills and the skills that you will have for your research. You should work extremely hard. This year should be the hardest year of your research, probably. So this is the year where you should arrive home and just lay down and collapse completely. Then the first 2 years of the PhD, more or less, then the last ones, you're already on track, it's a bit easier, then the postdoc is slightly simpler, and then you get a job. But really, you should now be ready for a big step and really work like crazy, continue during this in the first year, in the second year of PhD, start asking if you can slow down a bit, and so on, but really work extremely hard, aim at solving very hard problems and very broad with connections to lots of things. Don't settle now for something that you can already understand and that you can think that you can already start working with, because that probably means that you are not developing yourself to the extent that you could. So aim at broad problems, aim at trying to... Now you have really lots of time for studying lots of subjects, studying connections, identifying stuff. So it's really the time to be ambitious and the barrier that you establish now for you, what now seems very hard, can become the normal tomorrow very easily. So it really is, it sounds like some kind of propaganda, but it really is like, if you don't have pressure to, if you don't pressure yourself to establish new frontiers for what you can do, you will ultimately not develop your capabilities as much as you could. So it's really up to you to establish what you can do and to be ambitious, and once you are taught quantum field theory, you can study the bare minima, or you can open Peskin and Schroeder, solve all the exercises, try to solve, to find some more advanced book, and if you have something to study, and if you impose on yourself, I will study this book, this that I have, what I have to study, and this topic which is more advanced. If you oblige yourself to study the more advanced topic, the other one must become easy. You have no way out, and it will. Believe me. Very good. So now back to more mundane things. One more advice I want to give you. During the master, there is something called the essays, which are projects that you should do. During you have officially like 3 months or something, you were told probably, right? So in the second semester you have some projects. Again, if you want to do something great and if you want to do something that will be broad and if you want to be able to after that project have a nice global picture and take full advantage of it, don't wait till the beginning of the project to find out what you want to do. Go now after people. Talk to people. Ask now that you will have this some free times, these reading weeks and so on, which is something new in this process. Go, discuss with people, ask for small projects and ask them what kind of projects are you going to propose, what kind of literature does it cover, start already investigating, because if you start early enough studying and doing research in a particular topic, at the end of the year it can be extremely rewarding. You will have a very broad picture of some exciting field on research. Okay, so now what we are going to do depends on what you ask me. So the goal is, what do you think, what would you like to know what to do on Mathematica, what? Or do you have any doubt, any question about what we have done so far? Again, I recommend that you continue practicing, download the notebooks that I told you, check the lectures that I gave last year, because I covered much more, I gave more lectures. And I will come back from time to time sometimes to give you some more advices on how to use Mathematica on some particular courses that you will have, I hope. At least that's what I plan right now. And then, of course, I'll come back to teach you some cool physics on explorations to string theory. So, questions on Mathematica? Okay, let's start by Miriam. Yes?
Cases command?
So, cases. Case, I don't use cases a lot, so let's see. So let me, okay, this is very similar to select. So let me think of an example where I could use, cases is fine, yeah. So suppose I have some Hamiltonian, some Hilbert space, for example. And I have some rules for acting with some Hamiltonian on some cats. And I act with some Hamiltonian and I produce some cats. So then I got some output like this. Cat 2, 3 plus 4, cat 4, 5 plus cat 2, 3. Okay? And this can be all multiplied by alpha. Okay? Now, okay, apparently I wrote cat 2, 3 twice. Let's write something. Cat 2, 8. Okay, this will be some cats which have two labels. Now I'm on turn to ask, what cats are there in the final expression? Of course, here it's very simple, it's just three, and I can just look and read. But then I can ask, let's hope this will work. What are the cats? What cats there are? Now this will give nothing, and if I put here infinity, it will give the cats. So what happens is the following. These cases is it looks for some given pattern, and this is something very useful. You have some expression and you want to find, for example, what kind of you see many cosines of something, for example, which are like frequencies of some rotations in your problem. Right? What cosines do you find in a final result? You ask, what cosines do you find? Cosine of something. And then you ask her to look in that expression for cosines of something. But Mathematica will look in a tree. So you have to tell, where do you look? Do you look in level 1, up to level 2, up to level 3, or everything? And everything is this infinity here. Because I put this alpha, this is a tree. It's times of alpha times this. So if I didn't put this alpha, this was why I put this alpha. If I didn't put this alpha, then I think this infinity would not be needed because they would be immediately in level 1. No, it would still give me something strong wrong. Let's see why. Because you see what happens is that she's looking at level 1. And on level 1, this is plus of k 2 3 plus k 2 8 plus something that is not a k. It's a product of 4 with a k. So in level 1, how many k's you have? Only 2. Right? So you would have to ask to go to all levels. Or you could ask to find cases, to find what are the k's, up to level 2. This will probably also work in this particular case. So I don't know. Does this answer your question? Yeah. Good. More. Yes. Oh, okay. So what do I do with Mathematica? Let's see if I have any notebook open. Say, no, I don't have notebooks which are not related to this lecture. So what do we do? For example, let's see what have I been doing with Mathematica. Open recent. There is, for example, Hodges et al. Formula. So recently, Hodges proposed some remarkable expression for the scattering amplitude. What happens when you have n gluon, n gravitons, and you scatter them with each other. So you sum over these histories, you do all these thousands and thousands of Feynman diagrams, the complexity is huge. But then at the end of the day, you find some remarkably beautiful result. You find that the result for the scattering amplitude is written in this slide. It's something like just some determinant, and this indices I, j, k, and so on refer to which particle is being scattered. The final result is this, it's just summarized here. This is a full scattering amplitude after hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Feynman diagrams. This is, for example, on some particular configuration of momenta that is null. I give this 0.039. So what I was doing is let me check that this agrees with previous expressions by, say, other people like Mason and Skinner. And I computed using some huge sum of permutations, much more complicated, and got exactly the same number. This is an example where I was checking that some new results for scattering amplitudes, very powerful ones, give this number. And this gives exactly the same number, like 30 digits of precision. It's clearly correct. Now, this is scattering of gravitons. When you know that particles, when they are massless, they have helicity. You know, like a photon can have circular helicity in this direction or in this direction. Similarly, for gravitons, you have helicity, but not just in this direction. And this was the scattering for an amplitude of particular helicities, the simplest, where most particles are just spinning in one direction. Then the computation is somehow simpler, and this is what you get. Then people were thinking, after this striking result, this was really something outstanding that came last year, this huge simplification that no one knows. Why is the amplitude given by this beautiful determinant? No one knows. So what is this? What's the significance of this result? Is this some kind of Jacobian, that is some change of variables to some fancy formulation of gravity? What is this? This is something like some data that we need to explain. People need to explain, why is this determinant here? But for example, something you might want to do is, okay, this was done for some gravitons with some particular ellipticities, some particular polarizations. What happens for other polarizations? So I have messy formulas. Can I try to guess what the determinant structure would be? And I would start playing with Mathematica, with some examples, identifying structures, seeing if I find some hints for determinants. This is something that typically use Mathematica for, trying to see the structures, understand, check, and this is one example. Other examples involves algebra, but basically, as I told you, everything I do on paper, I can also do on Mathematica. Just it changes a bit sometimes. Sometimes the style that you do research. You don't focus on the things that you know you are. Often you skip proving things that you know you are capable of proving. You see, for example, here, if I think I'm sure I can prove why this is the solution of Liouville equation. Why this is the general solution. But do I really care? Is it really something fundamental or conceptually deep or something? No, I really prefer to check and move to something deeper. So it does shift the kind of things that you think about and so on. It allows you to, some things you really, once you know they are true, is it really very important to show that some big determinant is equal to some sum over permutations? Okay, I can probably expand the determinant with some epsilon symbols and so on, do a lot of work, eventually I will prove it. That's not really the fundamental thing. So I use Mathematica to check. It's true. I check it with 7 gravitons, 20 gravitons. It works. Now I don't care about the proof. Now I will see it and think. So it is the strategy is shut up, compute, and contemplate. So now I'm at the contemplate stage. I look at the determinant. Why is it so nice? Why is it so beautiful? What's the reason? What's the physical reason? And Mathematica saved me hours trying to show that the formulations are equivalent. Yes, more. Of course, I have done nothing on these gravitons. I just started playing. This was like a few days ago. Yes.
I try to do some substitution.
Yes.
For example, I try to substitute the form, say, a plus b, bi, something. And the case is the Mathematica does not necessarily mean if a is zero, Mathematica cannot recognize it. Is there any way, yes, you can just.
OK. So. So the question is, if we have something like x squared plus x plus 1, and then we say x to some power replaced by f of a. And now Mathematica will do this for x squared, but not for x. But x is x to the 1.
Yeah.
So, I forgot the name again. What Xinyu is asking is, how can I tell Mathematica that if you have some element which does nothing, the empty element, that you should also do this replacement? The answer is you put a dot after the underscore. Now, this works with respect to also multiplication. If you say x plus 3, and then you say something times x plus something goes to a comma something, right? Now, this will not work. But if you put a dot, Mathematica knows 1 is also something, and then it gives 1, 3. OK? And similarly, sum for plus, the empty element is 0, and so on. So putting dots in replacements will often take care of this trivial case. More questions?
So say we, we couldn't ask you the answer for this question. What is the most efficient way to go about finding an answer for this?
This one, again, is going to help. So here you would like to replace. So let's see, how would you, so you would replace. So you select this, you go to help, and it will tell you about substitute. So replace all, this is what this symbol means. So replace all, then I would go to the bottom, and let's see, replace, repeat, tag, 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 set. Let's see here, generalizations and extensions. Random real, I will try to find. Let's see. Tac, tac. Yes, what about here? Okay, so let's try to see. What else could we do? Rule, replace, rule. Let's try rule. Let me see. Let's cheat and see what it is. I would see. Default, optional. Okay, optional. This is default. Yeah. This default is kind of alone, you see? It's connected only to options. Yeah, this would be hard. This one is tough. So this lecture serves something. Mark.
Yes. Just continue.
Sorry?
In this case, if I want to just replace 1 to F0, because 1 is just the power 0.
Well, but that is problematic, because then 1 is x to power 0. Yes, that's true. But then why are you replacing, why not put f of 0 times f of 1 as well? Because x is also 1 times x. So that's something that I would rather not mess with. Yes.
Is there any like the subroutine or the functions? What's the general form for the subroutine?
Subroutine, right? I think that you see. Remember, at some point, we used. We use the following. We had, well, let's go here. So Tuesday morning, part one or two, what was part two? So when, remember, let me copy this to the other note. So when we had this take n, we say that take n, it was a routine, right? It had a bracket, and it did first take some elements from shuffle deck, then drop some elements from shuffle deck, then return the elements that you drop. So the way you draw, you can write a routine is by putting this bracket, doing something, and then putting the parentheses again. So this is one option. But sometimes you want to do something fancier. For example, you don't want to define this variable temp, right? Because this is a routine. It's something that inside you define temp. You don't want Mathematica outside this block to know what is temp. So then you can define what's a block. So you can say f of x is equal to a block. And let's use some variables inside, like y and r, okay? That are only used inside this block. And then, I don't know, I can say y is equal to, say, derivative of x. X will be whatever with respect to s, for example. And then, after taking this derivative, r is equal to, say, 1 over y. I don't know. You can imagine something more complicated. 1 over y plus y. Okay? And then what you want to compute is the derivative of r with respect to s again. See, this is an example of a simple routine. I just do some simple set of operations, right? I manipulate it a bit, and then at the end I return this. So if I, what is f of cosine of s? Okay, it did all those operations and returned this value. But if I ask, what is r? She doesn't know. What is y? She doesn't know. It was defined inside the block, so it didn't came up. Of this subroutine. Whereas if I would just use brackets, so something that would work exactly the same for all practical purposes would be instead of defining all this block, to just put some parentheses. Inside of all this, just put parentheses, and then put parentheses here. This would work as well. But now, when I run f of x, it defines y, it defines r. So if I run this, then y and r are memorized. And the next time I run, they are rewritten, but it's cleaner to use block.
How's this different from module?
Module does return some, it's a very subtle difference. Module does return some global garbage, but block does not. Block is better. It's a very, very tiny difference. This is a very advanced question. More. Yes?
So I understand, I believe, what happens when you use a colon with an equal sign, but I still don't understand why you would want to use it, and when you would want to use it, and when it's okay to use just an equal size.
So let's see. So you're asking about semicolon, or this?
The colon equals.
this one, okay, versus this. Yeah. So for example, when you want to do, where is it? Here, in this example, you could not have used equal, because if you use equal, it means you are asking Mathematica to evaluate this right away. But you don't want. You only want to evaluate this iteration once I tell you what is n, x, and y.
When you say right away, so what I'm thinking is I'm defining a function, and once I hit shift enter, then...
Then Mathematica computes what is to the right of the shift enter, what is to the right of the expression.
Why say that you, either way, whether you use the semicolon, or whether you use the colon or not, suppose that you end the line with a semicolon, then why do you care whether Mathematica evaluates it?
Because you see, if I have f of x, well, let's use. If I have f of x, is something that does the following. So it factors, say, let's see, what could it be? It for example, it expands x. Let's find something fun we could do. For example, it trig expands. So let's see, what is trig expand? Trig expand of cosine of 2x, she will expand in cosine squared plus sine squared. Okay? So it trig expands some expression and then replace cosine of x by c of x.
Would it be possible to make this as simple as possible to highlight just the difference between the colon equals and equals? Isn't why we would care about using the colon equals.
That's what I'm trying to do some example. Okay, so if you want just a previous example, the example I used before is quite, if you use just simplify of x, that's it. So now this and this, you would think they give the same output, right? That's your question. What's the difference between these two?
Why would I want to use one or the other?
Because if you use, well, let me call it g. So if you, what is f of x? F of x is the function x, because Mathematica simplified x right away. But what is the simplification of x? It's x. So f of x is the function x. That's it. Right? So f of x is a useless function. What is f of cosine of x squared plus sine of x squared? It's nothing. It just gives me the same input. Of course, I would not like to use this one. I would like to use this one, because this one, it waits. And when I ask to compute, because she will only compute now, she gets 1. So you see that there's a big difference, right? 1 computes right away. And this will work for anything. If I have some expand, trig expand, if I have say, some function that, for example, integrates something, I want to wait. I don't want her to integrate immediately. I want to wait till I tell her what she wants to integrate. Right? So then I put semicolon. Semicolon means delayed. So it's delayed assignment. Whereas otherwise, I put equal immediate. I put this equal sign here.
Surprised that the definition that involves just the equal sign would take as an argument x underscore, since what is there in that definition is the only thing that's ever going to be associated with the input to that function. Why would it even accept the underscore? Since it's what's there, not one line, that determines the entire function. It's not like you'll ever call x with just something in the argument.
Let me see if I know. So, suppose I put square. So, if I ask for f of y, it is y squared. I don't need to put y. F of x with underscore means something,
yeah.
Some tree. F of whatever you write, you pick that whatever you write and square it. Only. You don't simplify it, you just square it. Because Mathematica evaluated the right hand side. So, she simplified x, that gives x, and then you square. Okay. So f of something is something squared. That's what this function is. It's not clear? It's not clear, so let's see what else can I tell you. What is unclear? Can you repeat again what is unclear?
Based on what I had just seen, I was expecting that when you call f with any argument, x or y, it would give x squared. Because
no.
It had evaluated
f of some, x underscore means some variable, whatever you put there.
I understand that.
when I said psi of n equal to psi of n minus 1 and so on, n, I put a number there, whatever I want to put, right?
Sure.
I don't need to put n underscore. It's f of some variable gives simplify of x and y. So if I have x of two variables, full simplify, say, x over y. But what is simplify of x over y? Is x over y. So if I ask f of, say, x plus 1 minus x squared, comma y, she will just square this. She will not simplify. So I should tell her, wait till I tell you what x and y are, what are these two variables, and then do the thing on the right-hand side, that is simplify the ratio and then square it. So if I would use semicolon there, she would first simplify this, which gives x, and then she would give me x over y squared squared. So what example that we did before would tell you that I don't see what the confusion is yet.
Okay.
Is it okay? Now, do you think it's more or less clear? So the idea is, you see that sometimes you don't, imagine you have some huge expression, right? You simplified it. It gave something nice as function of x and y, right? That is your new function. You don't want to put a semicolon. You don't want every time you call the new function, you don't want her to simplify this huge mess, right? You want her to simplify once, and then that's your function that you want to use. So sometimes you don't want to if I have cosine x squared plus sine x squared plus sine x squared plus cotan of x squared. Right, so this is my function of x is equal to this. But I say, no, I don't like this. I prefer simplify. Or full simplify, apparently. She doesn't simplify this. Why not? Full simplify. This is a nicer function, I would say. Right? So now, I don't want Mathematica to, whenever I ask what is f, she computes this. I don't want to do the derivative of f of x respect to x. And I don't want her first to full simplify and then take the derivative. I want her to know, once and for all, full simplify it. And now, this is the same as just saying f of x equal to this. So doing these two things is equivalent. Either just defining it as the final output or full simplifying it and then assigning it. So she first does whatever is on the right. So she full simplified, she got this. And after that, she assigns f of x is this. This is a case where I would not want to put delay. Right? Imagine I want to do a plot of this function. I don't want, whenever she's finding a new point, to full simplify the expression, right? You don't want to full simplify the expression and give me the number. Full simplify the expression and give me the number. Full simplify the expression and give me the number. Every time. You want to full simplify once and then pick values at each point when doing the plot. You see? So this is an example. If I use two dots, maybe it will not be very slow, but we can try because this is a very simple function to full simplify. But if I use two dots and now I ask to plot f of x from 0 to 1, it took like a few nanoseconds. But otherwise, it's faster. It's hard to see in this case because it's a very simple expression. But if it would be something complicated, it would be painful to. You would have to. It would not plot.
So I would use. Or so the distinction between the colon equals and equals is important only when I'm using functions that are basically compositions of operations.
First of all, let me just say that. The basic rule, once you are starting, the simplest is to always use colon equal. Okay, colon equal always works, but sometimes it can be very slow. And it can be very slow exactly when you have composition of operations. So if you want to, if you cannot, that's right. So if you want to, well, let's, we can have a look at some examples that we did before. When would equal be the only thing that would work? Is there some example? No, there's no example where semi-equal semicolon equal will not be equally good. In, for example, in this notebook, semicolon equal would work fine for all the examples we did.
Okay, so yeah, I was just trying to pick up specific situations in which there would be a distinction and like precisely what the distinction is. Precisely where the delay occurs, but I can work that out myself, and please feel free to take other questions.
Second. Okay. Where are we? More.
So, say I take a recording of some sound and I convert it to a binary data file.
Mm-hmm.
How do I read that into MATLAB so I can take a Fourier transform of it?
I don't know. You can use import, export. You can. I mean, it's simple. So
MATLAB's good at handling imported tables. Or?
Very good. Yeah. So you can, for example, you have some table A, B, C, D, E, F, and you could easily export it. So you just say save this table as data.date, for example. Now it saved this data, it's in some file, and if I just want to import, I just ask to import this data.dat, and it just imports the table. And if we would open this file, it would be just a nice table. So it's very good at importing, and you can check this operation, which is import, and you can go at help and import and find more information about it. Yes?
What about tensor manipulations?
Tensor manipulations. We did some examples of tensor manipulations the other day, right? When we were contracting all these delta symbols and so on. So one option is sometimes you just do it yourself. Sometimes it's funnier to do it yourself if it's not something extremely complicated. Of course, you can download packages that already did the job for you, but so there are packages to compute Riemann tensors, rich scalars, and so on. Just you give some metric and it computes. And there are many packages online that you can find, but I would say that basically often you can do it yourself or just use some packages. Yes?
So if you write a function of this block, how can you return to multi-value rather than one value?
You can, the final output can be a list. In the previous example, instead of returning the single element, suppose you want to. So, in the previous example, you can return this function and the second derivative, for example, of this function. Right? So, if I want f of cosine of s, it would give me two outputs. Yes?
So just to go back to the previous thing about the null element.
Yes?
Just to be sure, I mean, how is that conceptually different from underscore semicolon one? I mean, or is it exactly the same thing?
Semicolon one.
No, sorry, colon one.
Colon one. No, this is different. This is optional. So this is the following. This is. So if you say. Say f of x comma say r, and then you say that this guy, if I don't tell you what this r is, by default it's all. You will see what I mean. Or it's one. Say, and then this is x plus. Okay. I'm not sure if I need semicolon. Now, if I have f of x, just f of x, because this was defined already. So if I just use f of x, it gives x plus 1, because I didn't tell what the second argument was. Whereas if I do f of x comma 5, it gives x plus 5.
Okay. So, I mean, this will work as well, right? The dot. And how is that different? Can I put a
this will work? I'm not sure. So
I mean, I'm pretty sure this will work with the previous example, but I don't know whether, I mean, are they the same or are they not the same?
No, they're not the same. This is default, the other is optional. It's really a different thing. Okay, I would have to think hard to find out an example where one would work and not the other, but I'm sure there is. I think in practice, you will use this a lot in these kind of situations when this is an argument of a function, and you will use the other one most. The other one is very easy. You will use all the time, and it's always for the same thing, for the element number one. You don't want to write this. The other one is shorter.
So what does the dot actually do? So it just means if you don't see the expression.
Dot means default. So let's see. So again. Dot means default. So it says, this is not a good example. It says it's the optional argument. So so x with a dot goes to, so let's see. So what you are asking is, so if you say that I cannot find an example where one would work and the other would not work. But this means that I have the operation power of x, comma, and there are some elements that are optional for power. So if I don't put any argument in power, right?
Yeah.
I get just x. If I put power 2, I get x squared. So this tells me that if there is an optional argument, I can also omit it. This, how should I interpret? This is I don't know. I don't know of an example where one would work and not the other. I don't know. If you read help, I'm sure you can find out. Just read the help for both, for default and optional, and find a small difference. But
right.
I'm sure it's explained there. It's not something that you will ever need to use or not. More.
About dealing with numerical fuzz issues, let's say that in a calculation I want to like diagonalize matrices or something.
That's right.
And I end up with some element in the corner that's like, you know, 1 times 10 to the minus 30. And then if I ask something like, is this matrix diagonal or is this equal to some diagonal matrix, right?
Right.
The equal will say, well, strictly not. But I want to redefine that as, you know, being diagonal to within some fuzz or being equal to.
Right. So you use chop. So if you have, say, and integrate exponential of ix plus exponential of minus ix from x from 1 to 5. If you use numerical integration, lots of precision. Okay, this is not a good example. I'm coming up with a function which is real, even though not manifestly real, so that she will give some imaginary part as numerical error, but she's too smart. Yeah, okay, whatever. So, of course, if you ask, is this equal to this with less digits? She will tell it's not. Right? So if you ask, is this minus this equal to 0, you get 10 to the minus 7, but you might be happy with it. Maybe it's fine enough. Then you can say chop. So if you chop, means 10 to the something which is very small. So sorry. Let's do, for example, this is probably an even function, is it? No, it's not. But suppose we subtract this value with one less two. So this is very small. So if I make chop, it will give 0. So chop chops things which are very small, 10 to the minus 15. It doesn't chop 10 to the minus 7. 10 to the minus 7 is fine. So if you want, you can say chop this up to precision 10 to the minus 7. Okay, so I define this function chop, and now 10 to the minus 7. Now it will chop. Okay? So this is an example. That was bigger than 10 to the minus 7. So that's an example where this is how you would do. So you have some matrix. If you want to kill some entries, you can just chop. If you want to kill garbage. More. Yes.
I've been told that subscripts in Mathematica have special meaning. I've been told not to use them just to label items because things.
Yeah, that's very bad to use subscripts. So if you want to take to consider some functions to define f0 of x to be equal to x squared. Okay. And then you want to take derivative of f0 of x. No, that's fine, sorry. But the derivative of f1 of x with respect to x. Now, yeah, so the main problem is if you have something like this. If you have some xz, sorry, I have to keep that in mind. Here is an example of something. So if I take derivative of this expression with respect to z, it will be this crazy thing. It would, how does Mathematica think of fz with an index of x? She thinks of it as the function subscript which has two arguments, f and z, and that function is applied to x. So you are taking the derivative of the function subscript, so it gives subscript prime. So it's subscript prime of f and z applied to x. That's, of course, not what you want. So it because subscript is just a function, like any other function. When you write f, z, it is subscript of f applied to z. So, and there are other examples where if you use subscripts, often you can mess up completely things by taking some things like this. More. Yes.
Okay. So in Mathematica, you can make it do the series expansion.
Yes.
Right, by using the common series. And you can specify how many terms you want by the last argument. Right.
You want series. You want to make series.
Yeah, series. Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. So my question is, you can extend this to n dimensions, right? By putting more variables.
Yes.
But how do you tell Mathematica to ignore, you know, terms? Okay, let's say you expand it in respect to x and y. Yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. how can is there a way to tell Mathematica to ignore, you know, terms of x and y that are greater than, let's say, x to the power of n,
yeah,
y to the power of n.
Yeah, but then the smart way of doing it is doing like this. Right? That's what you want to do, no? So, I think the question is the following. So, you have some expression like this, and you want to expand for small x and y, but out of the same order.
Yeah.
Now, if they are of the same order, what does it mean? It means that you want to define x to be lambda x, y to go to lambda y, and then expand in lambda. That's how you do it. So now you make series with lambda from 0 to 10. Then you get something, blah, 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 plus order lambda to the 11. This order is something that typically we don't like. Right? We want a polynomial, so we make normal to take this abnormality. And then we can just replace lambda by 1 at the end.
Yeah, but now you lose the...
The what?
No, sorry.
More. more questions. Yes.
I saw in the those files of the some school.
Yes.
And there is some file like which ends up with dot n. Is that the
which ends with what?
Just the file ends with dot n.
Ah, dot n. That's a package. So you can do packages. So sometimes you can, if you have some function that you use a lot, you can define some package that then you can load at the very beginning of your notebook. And that's like, you can have many definitions that you run, right? So you can have many functions you always use. You can have the poker implemented in your package. It's there. And whenever you run a notebook, from time to time you want to stop and play poker. So whenever you start your notebook, you load that package, then you work, and at some point you draw some cards.
And so
that's something that you don't want to put the code there explicitly, people could see.
So you make, those are frequently used functions.
That's functions that you create. You can download packages and then load them, or you can create them yourself. So you can start file, new, and create a new package, and then put stuff there that you like, and then call it, and it will run, and it's really like the same as putting them in a section in the beginning and running in the beginning of the notebook. There's no difference. It's just that the notebook becomes smaller because stuff is in the package. So there are some functions that you sometimes you are doing some project, and you are doing some project which involves algebra of gamma matrices. But you want to have different notebooks for different computations, but you will always use that algebra. So it's better to have that in a package and call it all the times instead of having that as a block of all your notebooks. Because then if you improve it a bit, you improve it in the package, and it's improved in all the notebooks automatically.
Sorry, so what is the command to do that? Call?
To do a package?
To call a package.
Load package.
Load.
No. It's just get. Context Mathematica packages. And then to get the package, you just use get or this symbol that we use to import. More. You can just search for help in package. But I think it's okay.
So if you use the package,
yes.
Will the variables defined in the package be also in your new kernel?
When you do get package, yes.
So the package is not like a block, unless you define it as a block.
That's okay. So sometimes what you do is define a package. The package has many functions, but what you might not want to define all the variables that are in the package. Sometimes you are going to use parts of the package, right? So you want, for example, you have a package which has algebra of gamma matrices, algebra of SUN, algebra of this, algebra of that, right? But when you run the package, you don't want all the rules to be called at once, right? They might even contradict some might contradict each other. So you can have some functions called gamma to dots equal. And then that gamma loads that part of the code. So once you write gamma, those definitions are loaded. Otherwise, they are not. So you see, take the code that we wrote for gamma functions and put it all in a single cell and write gamma to dots equal in parentheses, parentheses. Then she will know the rules, and she will know the stuff for gamma functions only when you type in your notebook gamma, shift enter. Now she knows the rules. Now I can use them. And in this way, you can have many rules in the same package, and you only set them. You only, but the set is delayed, so you only define the rules whenever you need them. Yeah.
Is there a way for Mathematica to tell you how many operations or calculations it's doing when it executes an algorithm?
Yes. So it's often useful to. So let's see. So factor integer 2 to the 10, 2 to the n plus 2, and I never know when it is hard. Let's see. 40 to 50. Is this easy or hard? What have I done? Ah. Rah. Trivial, apparently. So this is just factoring an integer number. So here is an hard one. So it's taking some time, and you might want to know in which n is she, right? This is the question, right? To know, is she still in the 400 one, or is it advancing or not? So let's abort. You can do, you can monitor, ask to monitor what is n. And you see, n is 400. So this is a bad idea to factor such big numbers. This is not good. It's not going to end. So let's abort. But let's do, say, 100 to 150. And you see, it's doing, tack, tack, finished. Okay. So this was reasonable. You do up to 200, for example, right? Start, start to take some more time. Now this one is hard, and you can do some funny stuff, you can do some. Now you can spend hours looking at your computer. You can do sharp pies and so on. More. Everyone is watching the bar. Yeah.
Can you tell us about white space in mathematics?
Ah, white space. So, white space mathematics doesn't care. I think if I understand correctly this question, mathematics doesn't care about white spaces. So it's again about white space. So you're asking if I do this, x, y, if it means something?
Or? Well, white space can show up in many different places at many different times, and what in general is the way that it's
Yeah, prepared. No, in general, the way Mathematica parses it is that if there are many spaces, she just interprets as one space. So if you ask what's full form of this, it's just x times y.
And if there's something that you could type with or without spaces, for example, spaces between y and the slashes, or the slashes and full form.
Right, then sometimes spaces are important. So if you have, say, y over x slash slash x means apply x to y. So if you have y slash space slash x, this is bad syntax. It means x divided by, and then there's nothing to divide, and that something is divided by x. So in this case, spaces would be important. But what I say is that one space or more spaces doesn't matter, but zero spaces or one space, of course, that can matter.
Right, but so I would want to put a space in the name of a function. But if I have a space between parts of a function, like the name and its arguments, or between arguments.
So f of x. So f of x equal to 2x, right? With a space. I don't know if it works. Let's try. I'm not sure. Yeah, it seems like it works, yeah. Why does it work? Yeah, it's true, it doesn't work. Yeah, this case, she just knows that you don't want a space there. I don't have anything deep to say. I know mathematics just because I'm not a developer, or I'm a physicist. This is a question really more about the structure of the syntax and so on. I have no clue. Yes.
The example of the gamma meter test last time. Why is the doesn't seem to work if we don't use central dot for just like a space? But we use central.
No, that is crucial because otherwise you are having products of gamma functions. So of course, Mathematica. If you have gamma of A times gamma of B, right? Mm-hmm. How could she know that, or gamma of B times gamma of A? Of course, for her it's the same thing. It's not just numbers. You need to say it's non-commutative. So you need to put some symbol to indicate that you cannot start messing things around. That was more.
Well, what kind of symbols can you put there?
What kind of nice symbols can we use to use that? So, we can use center dot, for example, center dot of AB. This is a nice one. So we can use circ, for example. Apparently, circ's not like this. Circle dot. We can use There are many which are just beautiful. Send the circle times. So these kind of things, they have nothing assigned to them. Center time just displays as a nice function. It's nice to use for tensor products, for example, this center time. Right? So for example, imagine you want to do a tensor product of A, B, C, D with another matrix. So there's a function which is called Kronecker product, which is also another name for a tensor product. And it does. You ask matrix form, it's okay. It did a tensor product of both. It puts both in a 4x4 matrix with elements A times the matrix here and so on. So it did do the product between these two matrices, the tensor product. But what you would like to do is something much nicer. You would like to have something like M1 equal this, say M2 equal this, and then you would like to have M1 tensor product with M2. This is what you would like, right? Then it's simple. You just say circle times is equal to Kronecker product in the beginning. Now you can use this nice notation. Yes?
Is there a way to tell Mathematica to use more processing power or to take advantage of multiple cores, things like that?
Yes. So for example, when... Did I read that? Yeah. So when I use this table, for example, so I could have used parallel table, and then Mathematica will use, I only have two cores. So she would load the two kernels, and she's using the two kernels to compute. So she will finish a bit faster. But often you can go to computers with more kernels and just use them, or this is one example. So often, there are things as trivial as this. Parallel table, parallel do. You just ask to in parallel and choose two kernels. Otherwise, there are fancier parallelization routines. You can start at help. Start from this one. You see, it was faster. If you remember the other one, this bar to fill up, this was roughly twice as fast.
Thanks.
More.
Is it also possible to ask Mathematica to use a GPU to calculate?
Not that I'm aware, but I think soon it will be. Yes?
I realize I'm asking very basic, very simple questions. But
it's good.
Some of these ideas, I see what they're associated with, but I want to know exactly in what context they're
used. Yeah, no, absolutely. No. I mean, it's also like learning a language. The best way to just practice a lot, read a lot, and so on, and then everything makes sense by example. So
sure.
You need to see many examples.
So one is about the ampersand. So I see that it can represent the end of a function, and
yeah.
I saw that sometimes you used it to end a function in a line that contains not only the function's definition, but also something after the function. Is that the best time to use the ampersand? Is there any other time you want to use the ampersand? What's the advantage of using it?
So first of all, ampersand is this one?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. So there's no option. You need to use the ampersand if you're going to use anything which has arguments. So if you want to define something that will involve this, the first symbol, you need to use the second symbol.
Okay, and my other question was going to be, can we talk about the context and advantage, the context in which we use and advantages of using the what you call argument instead of something like an x underscore?
Yes, so for example, in this previous example where we were doing this chart, so here, you remember, so we had this numerical computation, right? That was giving this value, right? And now you want to say that this is zero. So you want to have a function that applies this. So I say, apply the following function. I defined and I applied. So this is an example where almost for sure, I will probably use this once or twice, and the next time I will use it with a different precision. Of course, I could say, I could define some function of myself, chop of x, which is delayed, and does what? Chops x with precision 10 to the minus 6, and that's definition. And then instead of defining it here, I could just say apply, it's already defined the function, so apply chop. But I could not do it immediately. I could not, here there would be no way. I cannot do slash slash and then put here a definition, and then put here this.
So we use the pound sign, the argument sign, and the ampersand when a definition appears in a line that contains things other than the definition?
That's right.
Okay, thanks.
That's true. So when you have, you already did something, now you want to do some, to apply something else to it, which is some not trivial operation. It's not just expand or simplify. It's not something that's defined already. You want to define it, something new. For example, there's no operation that chops something with precision 10 to the minus 6. You have to define it. Right? It was not yet defined. If it was just chop, it would be okay. Chop is already defined, but chop with this precision is not defined. Now, after doing this chop, you could still have some terms here, some variables. You could now continue doing stuff, expand and so on. So you would you'd do this, do something that is new, continue doing standard stuff, do something that is new again.
It's like a lambda function?
Sorry?
Like a lambda function?
Yeah, it's like an auxiliary function that you introduce. I'm not sure what lambda function is. A lambda function is an auxiliary function that is used once only. Then it's yes. So you define some function, it's like you are defining a function that you don't want to name. You don't want to, it's not important enough to deserve a name. You know, just use it once and throw it away. Of course, if you are going to do this for 20 integrals, you better do the first way. Define some function that does this and use the defined function every time, then it becomes nicer. But if you are going to use it once, you don't want the code to become bigger just because of using this chop once. More questions? There's some kind of prompt, yes?
Well, can you give us that link again to the old practice questions? Or?
Where you can find the... Where you can find the more?
Yeah.
Okay, so... Rather. So this is the link, or PISA. So PISA, you know, it's the where all the videos of PI are. So you can also search my name in PISA, and I have many lectures on Mathematica there. And here there are also some links to some lectures, some videos, and also all the notebooks and so on. This notebook will also be posted online, I think. I don't know. More. Any more questions about what can we do, what can we not do? Maybe more general questions? Yes?
About the lines on the right-hand side of the screen, is there some way to make them more easily visible?
I don't know. I know you can change style sheet, but I don't know if the style sheet makes it, let's see, let's change style sheet. To pastel color, for example. Is it more visible this one? So never change style sheet to the primary color one. This is the rule, the basic rule of mathematics. Very dangerous. More. Yeah.
Maybe I just missed this. Is there any quick way to delete cells?
Just select a cell and click delete. Not backspace, but delete. So if you select some cell, you can select the cell and then just click delete, which is different than backspace. And if you want to select it, you click shift up, yeah, or shift down. So with shift up, delete. No more questions? Everyone wants to go yet? Nothing? Okay, so see you around. Have fun. And work a lot.